And I told her quite a story, said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is, I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. It was a sister talking at your honey. Well, first they love me, and then they don't. Sometimes they do it, and sometimes they won't. So I said to this girl, hey, you get out. And she got to her feet and began to shout.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addie.
Hey yo, I'm the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and over there is the bastard of blogging, Addie.
Oh yeah, have I publicly told you I think those suck?
Yep.
Okay. Good.
I don't care.
I know. I know you don't care.
I'm in a really perfect mood to talk wrestling because it took me like an hour and 10 minutes to get to your house
just to get warmed up.
Yeah, it usually takes like 25 minutes just to...
Yeah, to warm up.
Yeah, like yeah, because there was an accident. Like Calgary, people think, here we are in Calgary, the city of Calgary. People think, those of you who think this is a small city, it is a little more than twice the population of Boston, or a little more than three times the square miles.
Stopped snowing today.
It means, no, it stopped snowing for a while.
Oh.
So there's a road up here on the main highway, because you live so far away. On 16th Avenue... There's a road construction to shut down the right lane of the major traffic.
That means nothing to anyone.
No, no, but I'm just saying on the left-hand lane, shortly after that car accident, leaving just the middle lane of one of the of this sprawling metropolis.
Right.
Took me forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pissed off.
Right.
That's perfect to talk Raw 1000.
Is that, yes, it is.
Which I hated.
You know, can I just go back to those really retarded nicknames that you have? The only good that I can see coming out of it is that if you keep saying it every show, possibly it could get over. And then you could say, you know, it's just something I said once.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. That's the only good I can see coming out of
it. I know.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. No, that's predicated on it getting over.
I'm going to have shirts made.
Yes, you will.
We'll sell more than they sell of those Zack Ryder shirts.
Woo, woo, woo. Yes.
Killed him.
But what about the primetime player shirts? No.
Let's get it to Raw 1000.
Yeah, let's
really disappointed. I was like, no matter what happens, I'll enjoy this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't.
I know you didn't.
I did not at all.
Well, Raw 1000. Why don't we go segment by segment,
yeah,
and you can just talk about why you hated it, and I can talk about why either I hated it or did not hate it, depending on the situation.
Well, you go through, and you will talk. Okay, go through and open up with the opening.
The opening video.
What the hell? Open with the opening.
Opening. Well, new opening.
We'll open by this.
New opening.
Is that a permanent opening?
It is, because it was on NXT and SmackDown.
Okay.
And Vintage.
Okay.
So, yes, it's basically a bunch of, said similar to the thing, but it's a white background. It's got flashes of like Andre the Giant and Gorilla Monsoon and Steve Austin and John Cena, and then it says WWE then, now, forever is the catch phrase thing for it. So then it goes though to an opening video saying it started 999 episodes ago.
Hopefully
and
it was good. It had high choppy choppy your pee pee.
The first wrestler shown on that video was Macho Man Randy Savage.
True.
And I thought, fuck yeah, okay, we're off and running here.
He was one of the first, I mean, on the very first Raw, right? He was an announcer.
That's right.
So, I mean, it had him.
Well, but it wasn't showing him as the announcer. It was just showing him in the ring, kind of blowing a kiss to the crowd or thumbs up or whatever he was doing there.
Sure, but that was from the first show, though.
Well, it could have been. But irregardless, great thing to start with there. You had... like you said, things like I choppy choppy your PP.
They had the good and the bad.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman and Big Show dancing and stuff. I mean, like, yeah, they had the good and the bad. I mean, it got really up and going with some, like you said, some moments. Mankind winning the title, you know, the beer bath on McMahon with Austin. And then they started to slow down the music for a bit, and then it was Brett screwed Brett. I have no sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my smile.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they picked it right back up with whatever upbeat music again.
That's the only death they showed?
That was it. That was it. It was Eddie. So, well, I mean, there's no lawsuit, and he didn't kill anybody.
Hmm.
So I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
So, I mean, really, they said, Owen, I could see Touchily not hitting it.
Yeah.
But anyway,
and
so
that's the only two that ever happened. That ever the only two guys who were ever in WWE that died.
Other than Pillman.
Yeah.
There's four guys really under contract, right?
That have died.
That died.
Well, three.
So
Pillman. No, Rad Radford. You're right. No, wait.
He was in WCW. Pillman,
yeah.
Owen, Eddie, uh-huh. and Benoit. Right.
Who?
Hmm? Yeah. So, and Daniel. But anyway, so then the video montage ends, and then Vince comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to Monday Night Raw.
Loved it. That was great. That again, perfect.
Thank you,
right?
Vince. Thank you, Vince. Chance him thanking the audience.
Yeah, and then he said thank you, and that's just the thing to do, right? Okay,
yeah.
That's fine. I understand. He did that. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, and then everything, and then DX comes out. And then, you know, it's Hunter and Sean,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then,
didn't there used to be more of us?
Then Hunter says, didn't there used to be more? Huge pop for that.
Yeah. And they came out in the whatever Jeep tank thing.
They invaded.
WCW and the other guys, X-Pac, Road Dogg.
And Billy Gunn.
The one Billy Gunn.
That's right. Billy Gunn,
yeah.
Like, hasn't aged a day.
Like, his hair's a little grayer.
A little grayer, but I mean, he looked great.
So, yeah, he looked
great.
You know,
and
it was actually nice to see he and Hunter, because I mean, when
mm-hmm.
he said in shoot interviews, some of the most unbelievably.
Yeah, so did Road Dogg, though.
No, Road Dogg.
Well,
no,
Road Dogg kind of came along for a ride, I guess, with that.
Road Dogg was sitting beside him, would shake his head and look down while Billy Gunn would go off and what an asshole. That Triple H was, right? And
yeah.
Road Dogg would just kind of not say anything, just kind of nod.
Well, that's true. Road Dogg, I guess, behind the scenes, though, as an agent, is one of Hunter's boys.
Yeah.
And, no, I mean, it makes sense, of course.
Yeah.
So that seemed to be the...
I thought it was just good to see. It's like, you know what, you're older, you're wiser, time heals all wounds. It's one of those things where it's like, because you have to unless we played it for you, and we're not going to.
No.
The things that Billy Gunn said, though, were really, really, like...
But I thought...
Kind of crossing a line.
I just thought that this whole DX...
They kept the mic... It's a PD show, so they kept the mic from X-Pac.
That's true. That is true. And it, you know, it went a little long.
That was my problem with it.
But I just thought it was...
Too long.
It was fun, though. It was fun.
I thought Sean was not as funny. Sean was trying too hard.
He was, but anytime I can hear the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages,
yeah,
that's fine.
Five-team, tag-team, WWE tag-team, champions of the world.
You know, to thousands in attendance, and for me, because it looks like I'm the only guy that still has a full head of hair.
That was funny.
That, they just, everybody
they
was,
up.
Made, yeah, they cracked up that way. Damian Sandow.
The best part was when they both went, let's get ready to suck it, and Billy's like, no, this is all he gave me. This,
yeah.
The way he said that, just kind of like,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to offend you, but come on, man, please.
Yeah.
Like, he was really funny. His timing delivery was perfect there.
Hunter saying, of course, that Sean was going to lose his smile.
And that, again, was too
hard. And then Damian Sandow comes out.
Yeah.
Highlight to me of this was like, we're going to get together a huddle, and Damian Sandow goes, that is very rude. And I cracked up laughing at that.
Yeah.
He said that is very rude, he says.
What I liked was that he looked big enough to be in there as what with Hunter, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you again, that fear that they're going to push him, deep push him because he's too small.
Yes.
This is good. He's going to turn it in. He's using this on SmackDown, I am a martyr thing.
That's right.
So hopefully he'll use it going forward. I think for him it's probably a thrill to get to be in the ring like that, and people think it's burying the guy. Really, to him, he's like, he wants to take the pedigree there.
Oh, for sure.
Let it be me.
I'll do the super kick pedigree, exactly,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's it. So, but yeah, that's...
It went on too long, though. Really dragged. Really, it was like 20-odd minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It just really dragged. Because nothing happened. It didn't push a storyline, and it doesn't... So it just was too long for what it was.
I got
kind of bored.
Again, 3 hours... That's just going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. I enjoyed that particular segment. And good old JR comes out.
Mm-hmm.
To call a match. They did not bury him at all.
No, not really, no.
They
no.
didn't. Michael Cole was not...
There was a couple little things, little digs, but But that's just kind of a normal interaction between guys.
I was going to say, that was more, you know, the same lines of, you know, I'm the only one with a full head of hair. That was just them kind of busting each other's chops,
and,
you know.
And the three of them had wicked chemistry together. And I was really looking forward to hearing JR for the rest of the night with those two because they were just great together during this match.
And then he was
gone. Not a long match, 6-7 minutes. Some six man who gives a shit, Sinkara, and they almost tried to give him the rub, but they didn't. And, anyways,
basically,
JR was gone.
It's just the subtle turn of Jericho is what that kind of.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that was
it.
That was all that
they didn't
did.
Need the subtle turn. To me, they did a whole flood turn the week before.
That's
so
why I didn't quite understand him teaming with Ziggler.
Yeah, I didn't make sense.
I didn't. I was kind of like, what the fuck? But anyway, and then Brodus Clay and Jack Swagger, Dude Love, in Mick Foley's only appearance of the night, out to dance with.
Yeah, this was awful.
Yeah, this was.
This was terrible on every level. The match went 7 seconds. Jack Swagger has given up, and who the fuck blames him? He's going to be great in TNA when he gets over there.
Yeah,
we're going to look forward to Jake Hager wrestling for TNA.
Yes,
and he's going to him and Kurt Angle will have a great feud.
Oh yeah,
fantastic. And Dude Love, Mick Foley doesn't speak. He just does his little dance things, and it's a complete waste of my time.
Tie-dye Socko. Yeah, I mean, that was, yeah, it was really just a waste of time.
A
and
waste of Mick Foley.
I think so. This to me would have been an easy way. You take out this stupid six-man and this 8-second match,
mm-hmm.
5-minute dance or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And
8-second match, 5-minute dance.
And if you're
going to
pull the trigger on a Dean Ambrose Mick Foley thing,
mm-hmm.
Raw 1000
is where you do it.
Is where I would think you do it, right?
And that's the use of Mick Foley.
Yes. He did lose weight.
Oh,
I would say
that
going to be in the Just for Laughs in Montreal. They did mention, so that's actually big for a comedy perspective.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
it's
big
like
comedy.
A big comedy festival in North America.
Yeah,
think,
so
if not the world, so.
I think the world. But then in the back you have Trish Stratus there with Hunter.
They said once in passing about 3/4 of the way through the segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Hunter mentioned, "Come on, Trish." And that was the only mention of her name.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she has a different hair, so a lot of people might not recognize her.
She's been back, I mean, with the silky
things.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can't guarantee. Raw 1000 is drawing in a lot of people. You see this with the ratings, drawing a lot of people that weren't there back any other time.
I didn't notice this.
And then the kind of, because she does look a little different,
mm-hmm.
And then the kind of had it played off of Hunter being walked in on, like a risque kind of Hunter looking like
giving anal to Trish.
Trish years ago when Steph walks in. This time it's reversed, that
Trish is giving anal
to Hunter.
Right.
But they didn't really go there.
No, they didn't really go there because of the PG. Kelly wasn't on there, so they weren't really going to go there.
Yeah,
I think anal.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
exactly. Well, we have a guest who will be on later today who's being accused of that.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
That's true. And we're not talking about fucking Kelly.
No.
Because
no,
doesn't go that way. Then,
awful, by the way. Did I mention awful?
Yeah, that was just, I mean, again, I wouldn't even go awful. It's just
point,
pointless.
I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, at this point, I'm just like, this show sucks. Like, they've lost me already.
Well, I watched it on the PVR, so it was a lot of, oh, and then don't forget X-Pac Scuzzly hitting on Trish.
Oh, yeah. That, and what was the point of that?
There wasn't any point of, really, since DX come out, I mean, really, there hasn't been actually a point to anything on the show thus far.
Except for the Jericho Ziggler.
And even then,
they didn't need it last week.
But I'm just trying to think of. Then they show Daniel Bryan backstage,
mm-hmm.
and there's guys in white coats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming at this point that the job there is to go get Kane,
mm-hmm.
because Kane was supposed to object to this wedding, and the guys in the white coats were going to take Kane away to the mental institution.
Okay, but we never saw them again.
But we never saw them. I'm assuming that they had that and then it got cut.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that was pointless
was on,
again.
Or maybe it's because Kane was on later in the night anyway.
It's true, and it's pointless. But anyway. Then the Reverend comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor of Style.
The new opening song of this show.
Yes. Oh.
The song is great. People didn't recognize it, but
nobody popped. But. Oh, was he ever tremendous. Great. He was probably the best performer up to that point on the show.
Yeah. Basically, in the wedding, it was AJ and Daniel Bryan. and the doctor and I said this segment sucked, and you said, Daniel Bryan, AJ, the Doctor of Style, Slick, this segment, the wedding, I said it sucked, and you said what?
Well, I said Jive Soul Bro played, so I cannot bury the entire segment. But this segment...
sucked. Now, here's why I'm going to say it sucked here. Okay. UFC 149 here in Calgary had a seven-second knockout that was awesome.
Yes, it did.
And the rest of the show sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going home going, what a great seven-second knockout.
No.
They're going, the show sucked. Same thing with Dr. Style Slick. He was great, but he's a seven-second knockout in a segment that's, in a show that sucked. In a segment that sucked. So it doesn't matter that I can shit on this just because, I enjoyed him and he was great. And it was nice to see him. I love the song. It doesn't matter. When he's barely on, he barely gets any time, and everything else around him is terrible, then it's not enough to make it.
Well, you're talking about that segment, though, and Slick was half the segment.
No, he wasn't that much.
Well, he was. He talked. He did the wedding. They come out.
He had the one little soliloquy, the kind of where he...
The wedding ceremony, and then Vince did the rest. So that's 50-50 there.
No,
yeah, it was.
No,
he come out.
Because
he
had Daniel Bryan.
Okay, let's go through the segment. Okay, so what happened? Daniel Bryan come out and he did his talking.
Yeah.
Okay, how long did he talk?
About three times as long as Slick.
Three times as long as Slick.
Yes.
He talked for how long? How long did he talk for?
I'd say Slick talked for a minute.
Okay, we're going to time this afterwards because you're full of shit.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Slick talked for about a minute.
No, Slick talked.
You can go word for word. So right now, say what Slick did, and I'll count it. You can pretty much word for word say what happened with Slick.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No,
I know you were doing it before when we were walking in here.
Well, it was a marriage. It's a sacred institution. And that was when he was doing the what? That was one line. Him and Daniel Bryan, he got... Daniel Bryan, I'll just... And again, I don't know the time, but if Daniel Bryan got 2 minutes, Slick got 3 minutes, Vince McMahon got 4 minutes, AJ got 2 minutes. I mean, again, the bottom line of this segment...
Okay,
we're arguing about semantics here,
yeah,
but the reality is that the payoff of the segment sucked. So the segment as a whole sucked. But I can't bury it completely because Slick was great.
It doesn't matter.
Start to finish did this segment suck completely?
Yes.
Okay, so you're full of fucking shit.
Yes, because 20% of the segment was good, but it
yes.
doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. That 20%, you are then admitting that 20% of the segment was good.
It wasn't great. It was good.
Okay, fine. But this, I can't. That's why I said I can't bury it completely. I know you can because you're a moron. But the fact is if it completely sucks from start to finish, we'll get to some segments that did. Okay, if it's start to finish, then it's going to. Then I can bury it completely. But I can't bury this completely because there was some a nugget there. And Slick, come and tell
He's
me later. He
nugget.
Is not a nugget, but still. What we didn't mention, we need to be remiss because before this segment aired, and you brought me to this wonderful fucking recap that, this is more detailed than Todd Martin's, and I missed it. So here is the fucking thing. In the back, Layla and AJ, AJ is getting ready for the wedding.
Talk about things that suck.
This was, to me, one of the highlights of the show.
This is awful.
When... She opens the door, and they said, this is crazy, you're crazy, I'm crazy, and she opens the door, and there's Hacksaw. Okay, well, I don't really get how crazy that is.
Yeah.
And then there's Truth and Roddy Piper with little Jimmy doing
jump rope. Yeah,
and
that's
okay,
just
there.
Fucking hilarious, and that's a great use of somebody like that.
And then the door opens, and there it is, Mae Young's hand. He's all grown up. What a nice looking man. He's all grown up. You wonder, do you always see those, where are they now, right? And you go, whatever happened? To Mae Young, I mean, you give birth on it, it's like, whatever happened to Aurora Rose? What? Now we know what has happened to Mae Young's hand. He's Jewish. He's got glasses. I think he's probably an accountant. But we know he's grown up healthy, and that's the important thing in this world. I mean, you talk about things like, you know, the children's hospitals and things, how they're underfunded all across the world, and how if children are sick, it's nice to see someone grew up healthy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, you know, it really is nice to see that he's all grown up, that kid, that hand that was born 14 years ago, is all grown up into a 25-year-old man.
You bet.
Yeah, and that's just fantastic.
Acromegaly.
Yeah, apparently, and just tremendous. Just,
and the only thing that would have made it better is if the guy was black.
Let's give her another hand.
You know, if the guy was black.
And the hand was white?
Well, no, but the guy had to be black because it's Mark Henry's kid, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So and you could have had Mark Henry in the background, like, walking and seeing and kind of covering his face and turning the other
that
way.
That would have been funnier than what they did. You said you laughed at that. Very few people did. Let me tell you something. You know who did, and this is what's bugging me, all this great comedy they're doing, is that Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, laugh, damn it, this is hilarious, laugh, to this slapstick comedy, and it kills the whole segment for me, and it sucked ass.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What a waste of time.
That was
funny.
Stop
talking about it.
That was hilarious. And so then we get to the wedding, and the...
And it sucked ass.
The day, and I joked a couple of weeks ago on this particular program, the new Raw general manager will be AJ.
Uh-huh.
And Vince McMahon comes out and introduces us to the new Raw general manager, AJ.
You go first.
This is the debut of my new catchphrase. Fuck! 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 Fuck!
I will buy the shirt.
We may tout that.
I think we will top that. That's what we're doing. Absolutely.
Oh. We talk about how
the dog breathes on me. Yes. Holy fuck! Is breath ever hot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Just stop. It
smells like your mom.
Stop touching him there.
Even your mom didn't see as much traffic as it was on Deerfoot Trail.
The thing was, but they were going faster than five. The thing was, again, we talk about Raw 1001, Raw 1002, 1000, all that stuff. This is the kind of shit that is going to make 3 hours totally unbearable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, AJ, they said, we talked about how Raw turned the corner, Raw 999.
Yeah, they had this really good show, and I was looking forward to it.
Because of the limit of AJ. I mean, she was still there, and she still has a role, and it's still fine for her to be on the show, just not eight times.
No.
And when you're talking about a three-hour show as a general manager authority figure, the way they fucking do things, that's going to be the deal.
She has go-away heat with me.
And so she is going to be
much,
on.
Too much of a... Like, she can be good in a small segment, but she has too much. Now, but it's, to me, it's not even just that. If this was real, to quote Lance Storm, why is it that Vince McMahon, who has no power within the company, apparently, according to storyline...
Right.
That's
all forgotten.
Yeah, it's all forgotten. I'm sorry. Why is it that he would take somebody who has never been a world champion, never been a diva champion, who is within 2 years of within the industry, seems to be mentally unstable, has made poor choices, has no experience or background or education, to be the general manager over a Terry Funk, a JR, Mick Foley, William Regal, even anybody, from a pure logic standpoint. Now I can't stand it because I just can't stand AJ. Just can't stand her. But just from a logic storyline, it's awful storytelling.
Yes, it is.
And you can't just sit there and go, "Well, I didn't expect that, Ajami. I didn't expect that." There'll be some interesting things coming out of this because they can do some storylines. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
If the storyline.
Well, he just likes it because they have the same name.
He does. Well, yeah.
But
now in charge of Raw. He's excited.
Yes, exactly. See? That's the biggest thing to come out of Indiana.
Awful.
This is
an awful segment with an awful payoff and it's awful storytelling.
No good can come of this.
No.
And that's the whole thing, is that there is nothing good that can come out of AJ as the general manager.
No.
Nothing. Honest. Zero.
No, because she's not entertaining, so...
Well, there's no...
Like I said, there's just nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah.
To quote the great Kevin Smith movie, Chasing Amy, this will end badly.
Yes, this will... nothing good can come of this. This will end badly. So then we finish up that bullshit, and we come back, and Daniel Bryan's in the ring, and CM Punk comes out to rub in that he got left at the altar.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan calls himself the greatest...
Daniel Bryan's facial expressions were awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
as
awesome.
Was Slick, actually. Slick had some great bug-eyed look when AJ said, "I wasn't saying..."
I didn't notice that.
To Bryan, and oh, yeah, it was... And when they all chanted no, and he went, I never heard that before. That was hilarious.
Well, we're going to have to put Slick on in the
I think we will have Slick on, exactly. Yeah. But I think that, Punk comes out, Brian calls himself the greatest superstar of all time, and out comes The Rock.
To a significantly less pop than DX got.
Yeah. I don't know that he got a significantly less pop.
I think he got less pop than CM Punk.
He got less of a pop than Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, and X-Pac, because they're really the ones that got the pop in DX.
I think he got less than CM Punk. He got less than the original DX.
It wasn't anything, off the charts, but he, again, that just speaks to the fact that he's been around a lot. He got a pop, no doubt.
Yeah.
But this was not the return after 7 years pop. Like, he's never going to get that again.
Yeah.
He's not current enough and around enough to warrant, to build up the popularity with this audience.
Yeah.
But he comes back just enough, but it's, again, so he's going to get a pop, but not enough to the new audience. He's just going to get the, this is The Rock and we cheer him pop from now on, right?
Pretty much.
But
he's one of the most popular stars, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
It's never going to be the same, and it can't be the same, and it shouldn't be the same. I mean, it's with...
But it's not even the pop, it's not even the pop that he was getting back in his heyday either, right?
Well, it's never going to be, and that's what I'm telling you, and it shouldn't be. Ever again. He's not a wrestler. He's a movie star that comes back 10 times a year.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine. He gets a pop well enough for that. When Hogan started to do that...
Hold on.
That's the same.
Your windows are down, and I hear the ice cream truck going by.
Uh-oh. I may be doing the show solo for the next half hour.
You sure will be. I'll be back in a moment.
But, then The Rock did one of the most, sort of unfunny promos that he's cut in quite a while. We talk about the Oompa Loompas and such.
I thought the Oompa Loompa line. See, this segment for me at the beginning wasn't very good, but it got better and better and better.
The one thing, of course, that was good.
So by the time it was over, I was like, this is where I sent you a text when the show's turning around.
The one thing that's good about this is The Rock is fighting the WWE champion at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay, so that immediately, to me now, solidifies a buy for me. In January,
mm-hmm.
for the Royal Rumble, because The Rock is in the world title match, and the Royal Rumble match itself is there.
That's right.
So, okay,
They set it up so there's multiple people who believe he'll be the champion, and he has issues with all of them. Of course, they set it up by the end, so he has issues with one of them more than others. But.
And that's the guy that should be holding it and losing it to Rock is CM Punk.
Yeah.
But, Punk, I thought, did a very good job in this segment of just kind of standing back and looking bored at The Rock.
He looked like a tool for most of it. He's just sitting there doing nothing.
But that's what he's supposed to be doing. He's not supposed to be enamored with The Rock. He hates Dwayne,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I got that emotion from him. I didn't
Absolutely.
Think that... See, this is kind of... And I was wondering...
I thought Daniel Bryan and The Rock had great chemistry. I liked the Oompa Loompa line. Oompa Loompa with a lumberjack. That was hilarious, and just I thought this segment was, like I say, by the end I really enjoyed this.
Yes, Rock.
I didn't think anybody was buried.
I didn't think so either. No, I just again the Oompa Loompa line didn't do anything for me because Rock's called lots of people Oompa Loompas before.
Yeah, but not that they fucked a lumberjack first.
Oh yeah, that makes
so
all
that
the difference. That would. That
so
would.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. You're a lumberjack.
And your mom's a lumberjack.
Oh. And she's okay.
And she fucked Daniel Bryan.
She worked so hard.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Your mom fucked an Oompa Loompa.
But,
and Daniel Bryan. You're his brother.
You're an Oompa Loompa?
What?
What?
I am an Oompa Loompa.
Okay. That
big, tall, fat one.
Yes, yes, indeed. That explains the small penis. But what I'm looking at with The Rock is... That's why, see? It's like a turtle head pook in there. But... I think that I'm liking the Royal Rumble build. As I said, I don't think that Daniel Bryan got buried. And Punk. See, what I was worried about is, I mean, we talk about the pipe bombs and how when Punk didn't placate to the people and the corporate and being the shill. And then we talked about when he was talking to Daniel Bryan about 6 weeks ago, he was saying how he didn't do these things, but it was very obvious that he had.
Yeah.
So I was worried that Punk was going to play Mr. Corporate Nice Guy and be all chummy chummy with Rock.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And I liked that. And of course the reason for that is still to come, but at the same time it was consistent with the character. Good guy, bad guy, even in between guy, it's the same, right?
Yeah,
so that I liked. That I liked. So anyway, and
the show went back to being shitty, I think, after that.
Bret Hart comes out.
Yeah.
As your ring announcer talks about how he beat Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, no, actually, he was really good here. I mean, don't get me wrong, the pop was pretty good.
Again.
But at this point, it's like...
Same as The Rock.
Yeah, well, but it starts to become a point like, okay, every single time they bring... It's the law of diminishing returns. It's so many, you know, legends that it starts to... Just kind of be like, oh, okay, another legend. Okay, let's move on to something.
No, Bret Hart is not one of the biggest draws of all time. He was a consistent top babyface performer.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the pop I expected for Bret Hart.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with that.
So.
I'm just saying that I'm talking about as far as my enjoyment of the show. It's like,
I see.
Yeah, but the thing about this is he comes out, he announces Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He gives Christian a really good announcement. And he's like, and now Christian's opponent. And he's like all excited. And then it was great. It's hilarious. He goes, The Miz.
The Miz. Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah,
I love that.
I thought that was good. And, again, brings up Mr. Perfect. So I, for some reason, and I don't know why, but when he come out to announce the match, I didn't realize that it was, like, what I didn't take away from it was Intercontinental Championship. Like, in hindsight, it makes complete sense. But when he said Mr. Perfect, for some reason, I thought Michael McGillicuddy was coming out.
Oh, okay.
A match.
Okay.
And that just because he'd mentioned Mr. Perfect, so I thought he was announcing his son. But, I mean, this was obviously better. But, and then Miz wins the Intercontinental title from Christian.
Which is good, and then he acted like it was important.
And I think, and then I saw him on SmackDown with the Intercontinental title. I think the Intercontinental title suits Miz.
Yeah,
at this
I think
point.
It suits him
and
at
I,
this
so
point. I think it's good. The other thing is, it wasn't a very good match, and I was like, man, even The Miz sucks so much, he can't have a good match with even Christian. But they had a rematch on SmackDown that I thought was much better.
It was, yeah. I thought, the match on SmackDown was like 25 minutes.
Yeah, it was a really good
It
match.
Was really good, I
and
thought.
Christian's just awesome. I think he's the best worker, and that includes Daniel Bryan in the WWE.
I think he is, I don't think there is a better worker of the WWE style than Christian. No, that's I would agree with that completely. And again, I think that the Intercontinental title suits Miz. It's perfect for the point in his career.
Yeah.
And let's see what he does with it. Have a run and
I'm good with
there.
That.
So I'm good with that. And I think it even looks even that white hair. I think that looks good on his shoulder. Like I said,
and
his new look with the hair and the. Yeah. You know, the bad teenage mustache or whatever he's got going on. I mean, it's a different look. It's not faux hawk Miz, so I like it.
He looks like such a pansy before, you know? He's like, you know, you couldn't take him seriously. He doesn't look like a tough guy now, but he just doesn't look that same.
Yeah.
You know.
He looks like a douche.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he is, right?
Exactly.
So that's the thing. So that works. So, and then they had to set up the... we went to commercial because when we come back, they had to set up the couches in the ring.
Yeah.
Because it was therapy time.
Yeah. This is awful.
Oh, my God. Hunter comes out.
Yeah.
Of course, he's calling out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So Paul Heyman comes out naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that
and Heyman,
sense.
As usual, is terrific.
And Heyman was tremendous. And Heyman was saying, name calling. You've resorted to name calling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you teach your kids that? And he said... Don't talk about my kids.
But you know what? He's not talking about his kids. He's saying to you teach your kids that. He's not talking about the kids.
I know. Don't bring in my family. Don't talk about my kids.
Fuck
it's
you.
Bad enough your kids have. I'm like, so you could talk
so
about
you
his
can talk
kids.
About his kids. Exactly. This exact same dynamic gets worse as this goes on. As this shitty segment goes
because
on.
Because then he says, fine, we'll talk about
his
kids. And then he says something more about his kid.
Yeah.
And then Stephanie's music hits.
Then Super Cunt music hits.
Yes.
Because it isn't even, and you know what, I don't even recognize the music. I'm like, if they had played My Time, we might have got a popper. I'd go, oh, it's Steph. It's some music that I don't know, did she ever use this? It's shitty. And
She
either had liposuction or been working out like mad.
Yeah.
Like, last time she was around, she was fatter than me. You're right. That's, no one's.
No.
Yeah.
She may have had cheeks fatter than Bundy's.
Yeah.
But
But, no,
but they were full of stuff. But the thing was, is no, that was her SmackDown general manager music.
Yeah, but it's not the music you associate with her. They should have played My Time. They should have gone with that. I
knew whose music it was.
I don't care.
But anyway.
Either way, she comes out and she is just a super cunt.
Yes.
Here's the thing. She is supposed to be the baby face, and Heyman is supposed to be the heel in the situation, but she's so unlikable, so unbearable, so screeching.
Yeah, screeching.
So she turned him babyface.
Yeah.
By talking about his kids and comparing him to Vince and her daddy. My daddy is better than you. If I hear her say my daddy is better than anybody ever again, this was awful.
And then
she beat the shit out of him to throw it all a little cherry on top.
Now,
by the way, we're the McMahons, and our cocks are bigger than yours.
I wish that the boss man was still alive, though. My daddy. But, that's the thing. You're the failure of a businessman. You're a failure of a promoter. You're a failure of everything.
Yeah, all this other shit you've been really successful at, but we're not going to focus in on that.
And then it's like, my dad is better than you.
And she tricked him by making him mad enough that he would agree to the match.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he would never fall for that. It's out of character that Heyman would fall for her bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's Stephanie smarter than Heyman.
Well,
bullshit.
I know, but of course, right? But that's the thing.
Stephanie is a moron.
And again,
Heyman
is Heyman's just, pay me and whatever he'll do.
He's
right?
Clever.
Well, but he'll do whatever, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just pay me.
He's like, this is a shitty segment. I'll go outside and do it.
Yeah, I'll make the best of what I can, but yeah, it's gonna be shitty. And then Brock comes down.
Brock was great there.
Mm-hmm.
Brock looked like a monster. Brock came out and they had a brawl with Triple H, where Triple H knocked him out. Made Triple H look to stand up to him, but Brock still looked like a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he picked him up and carried him like nothing and threw him into the corner.
Yeah.
And you're like, this guy is a devastating beast.
Yeah.
But Triple H stood up to him, and I'm
of
like,
course.
And I wanted to see the actual match.
Mm-hmm.
But the booking and Stephanie, fuck off.
Yeah, the match itself is at the very end, it was okay. Yeah, I want to see the match. Even on SmackDown, when they showed the graphic of Hunter standing there and Brock with his MMA glove fist up and Heyman behind, I thought, yeah, I want to see this match.
But Brock did this perfectly. He like I say, he made himself look devastating. And it wasn't Triple H who did this perfectly.
No.
Brock did this perfectly. They made himself look devastating while still letting the other guy get in the offense.
Exactly, right? So, but that is, that was it in terms of the match there. What do we got?
Charlie Sheen has shown up how many times at this point?
I don't know.
He shows up at the beginning. He gets a nice.
Forgot Charlie Sheen via Skype.
Via Skype, because WWE cannot afford to get proper.
Equipment in. But he was supposed to.
Oh bullshit! He's watching porn. Some guys watching.
No. But he was supposed to do the Twitter thing.
I know.
So, but then doing the Skype, this is the social media computer use.
Doing Twitter like a week
I
before.
Know, but I'm just saying the Skype part made sense to me in terms of he's supposed to be doing the social media ambassador.
He had a camera, at least get a good Skype camera.
Who cares?
It's like the camera right up his nose.
I don't give a fuck.
Whatever. The point being that he's right up, and the crowd gives him a nice reaction the first time. The second time, they're kind of like nothing. But the third time he comes on, they're booing. Because every time he comes on, it slows down the flow of the show. And that's taking something with this shitty show.
Well, yeah.
They didn't even share.
The point of it, though, is that on the third segment, the second segment, she makes fun of Daniel Bryan getting left at the altar.
Yeah, and then Daniel Bryan does a
backstage with Sean Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
The returning Sean Mooney saying, and Charlie Sheen, blah, 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 he sucks, he hasn't been relevant, and da-da-da-da-da, he's a piece of crap. And then Sheen says, anytime you're in Los Angeles, I'm not a hard guy to find. And then Mike could be at the strip club. But Michael Cole then goes, hey, we're in Los Angeles for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Huh. So there will be some sort of confrontation time between Daniel Bryan and Charlie Sheen. Not a match, but there will be an in-ring confrontation, talk soup, Entertainment Tonight extra segment.
No, here's what I expect from this. I expect Daniel Bryan to be really great.
Mm-hmm.
I expect Charlie Sheen to get a mixed reaction. Daniel Bryan to end up being the babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I expect Daniel Bryan to actually be good for him, get publicity, and him to do well with it. Oh my God! Whoa!
I like how you took your microphone off after you sneezed.
I tried.
And the microphone comes off there.
I tried to get to it. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sure that hurt. That's what she said. But anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
emotionally.
Emotionally, yeah. But I expect this to be good for Daniel Bryan. I think it shows where he is and how they trust him. And I think it'll be good for him. After that, they'll treat him well coming off of this. I expect all of that. But I just think at the end of the day, Charlie Sheen's going to end up getting the better physically of him, and it's another like celebrity getting the better of a WWE superstar. And I just think that's bad for them in general.
I'm just throwing this out there now, but in a way to get him on the show because he probably won't have a program to work. Is this a peep show?
Could be.
I mean, that's
that
to me.
Sense, right?
I mean, yeah, it's like Christian probably won't have anything for SummerSlam at this point. I don't see him getting another shot at Miz.
Yeah, the transition off.
At least not this quickly. Yeah, it seemed to be the blow off in the end because he said, "I'm cashing my rematch right now." So it seems to be it. So
more like the Zack Ryder versus Miz, something like that.
Yeah, something to that effect, right? So I could see that. I could see that being a peep show throw moment, right?
That'd be good.
But yeah. So anyway, so that's where you go with my boy D. Bryan. So now they have those fucking Basham Buddy wrestlers again.
That's another thing that was. I'm going to talk about a couple more things that are shitty about this show.
Okay.
The product placement.
Oh, yeah, the Sonic or whatever.
Sonic girl in the roller skates, the Basham. The product placement was really, really... It's always been there, but this was really, really obvious. There was more of
I'll tell you,
it was unbearable.
On SmackDown, when they went to the announcers, they all had Sonic cups in front of all three of them.
But that's fine.
Perfect,
that's
right?
Fine. You see that in America's Got Talent. It's sponsored by
Snapple. Yeah.
So their glasses say Snapple on them, but they don't have... And Snapple does the lounge backwards.
Coke does American Idol, right? They've all got Coca-Cola things in front when they're doing their things, right? So.
Exactly. So that's fine. That's expected. Product placement is part of television. But this was really unbearable and obvious and constant.
Mm-hmm.
But not as constant as the WWE. So the WWE does that package at the beginning, and they celebrate the 1,000. And then they continue to talk about how the 1,000, how great that is to be there, and how great they are. And let's pat ourselves in the back a little more, and then pat ourselves in the back a little more, and stroke off our cock a little more, and shoot a load all over the TV and the fans about how great we are. And then still going to be hard because we love ourselves so much, so we're going to keep stroking it. This was a masturbatory show as far as the WWE celebrating themselves. I felt like I was watching the Oscars, which I don't watch, because I don't like to see a lot of people who are already privileged patting themselves on the back.
Was this
how great they are.
More ostentatious than the Oscars? Was it greater than the Grammys?
Go fuck yourself, will you?
I honestly wasn't even paying attention to that.
Yeah.
I didn't even register with me.
Just
to be honest.
Give me a show.
Wait till January.
Don't watch it twice, but give me a show.
The next one's January, right? 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. So that'll be it, right? So they got to do that. And I mean, again, those are milestones that you do have to celebrate.
Yeah, celebrate it and mention it, but it's constant glad handing of how great we are.
I know.
That's too much for me.
But
speaking of too much for me, you continue to talk. I'm gonna have to find myself a beverage because it is hotter than
a witch's tit.
Yeah, brutal in here.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's, you know, that's what it is. But I was talking about the Basham Brawlers. And this time, fucking the former general manager of Raw, Hornswoggle, and Santino come out for their fucking shit. And it's called Brawler Buddies now. Now, I remember, I think they had John Cena and Rey Mysterio. And they talk. And, I mean... They're basically just little stuffed fucking animals that talk. And I remember Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, and it was the Macho King, Randy Savage, were the Brawlers or whatever, the Basham Brawlers or whatever. WCW had their NWO Hogan. They had a DDP, and I believe those and Sting, and those are the ones that talk just like this. Rey Mysterio, John Cena thing, and it's like, I'm presuming that these are new because I've never heard of them before, and so I presume that these are new, and they wanted to get them out there, but yeah, it was just, I could see fine throwing them around. down to the crowd, but then Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler had to squeeze them. And look, they talk.
So
you can't see.
Hey,
yeah.
They're so great. They're so inventive. No, they're not.
No, that's what I said. They've been doing them since the 90s, right?
Yeah.
So,
like what you do is you give one to a kid or two in the crowd, and then
yeah.
you hand by with the camera showing they're playing with them. So
yes.
That's it.
That's it, exactly. And then Heath Slater comes out, they challenges any one of the legends in the back, and Lita comes out.
Yeah, now Trish looked amazing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just so beautiful.
Yeah.
But Lita, I've never really found that attractive, but holy...
Yeah, she looks really hot, yeah.
Oh, my God, I want her to phone that like you wouldn't believe.
I would believe.
She was so hot.
Yeah.
She looked a little different, but enough like her, and just a... Oh, my God.
Yes.
She's a way better looking than anybody currently in WWE.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Way better looking. I'm not sure how old she is, probably between 32 and 34.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, in that range. But,
yeah, and then we had...
More than that, actually.
Probably.
She was in, 1999? She was in ECW?
Miss Congeniality, I think, yeah, was in the late... it wouldn't be 99. It would have been, 98, probably, 97, 98.
Yeah.
Because she came in with S.A. Rios, right, in 99, probably, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, we're talking, yeah, she's got to be... Oh, she looked good.
Yeah. And she was so...
fuck that.
Yeah, I know you would.
No, Punk did.
But, yes, he did. He did. There it is. And it was actually the...
What I'm trying to say is, though...
Yes.
I'd fuck her.
Okay. Okay. I didn't get... Sorry, what?
Anyways, move on.
Heath, of course, saying, oh, I could beat up a girl. And Lita said, I've got myself some protection. Which, I was expecting her to pull a Trojan out.
Mm-hmm.
But, the second greatest song...
You need that if you're going to be with Heath Slater. I mean, if you're around him and you're a female, always make sure to have one or two.
Well, and the thing was,
Heath
really had a problem with publicly forcing himself on a woman.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I could see,
publicly, yeah.
Yes, exactly. See, in public, if you will. But then the second greatest music of the night aired with... she said she got some protection.
Mm-hmm.
And the Acolyte Protection Agency come down.
Yeah, it was great.
And great music.
Yeah.
Anyway, music. So then he... And the look on...
Guys are ass kickers.
Yes,
right?
Always pounding ass.
Always pounding ass. Always pounding ass.
Fuck.
Like the fucking best shirt.
Vince must have designed that himself.
Probably.
Wow, say always pounding ass, pal. It'll be great, won't it? Oh, it sure will, Mr. McMahon. Fuck.
I loved it.
why isn't this selling, pal?
Yes, because it's the APA. But
I would tell you, Vince, I would buy one of these. Okay, Pat.
they'll see this and
they will go banana.
We don't do this show for you guys. We do this for ourselves.
Oh, fuck. But, I mean... So basically, the look on Heath Slater's face, though, was great when the APA music hit, and he was like, oh, shit. And then they actually edited out Heath going, fuck this, when he got out of the ring, which was awesome.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. He went, fuck this, and he goes out of the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But,
what did you hear about that?
No, that's what they went. You could tell. That's what he, all of a sudden it went, quiet,
Okay.
I'm like, what did he say? Yeah, I guess he went, fuck this. But, and anyway, goes up the ramp. All the legends that he had lost to in previous weeks were there. In a reuniting of the Masters of the Powerbomb, Sid and Vader threw Slater back in the ring for Lita to hit the Twist of Fate, do a moonsault, get a clothesline from hell, and she beats Heath Slater. And then, of course, damn, and everybody was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine for what it was.
And this leads us to 3 hours of Raw upcoming here. Apparently, this is going to happen every week.
What, Raw's going to be 3 hours?
Yes. Did you not hear?
This show
lasts
so long.
Every week until further notice. There will be a Legends segment on every Raw going forward. It's not ending here. New Legends are coming to beat Heath Slater up going forward for the rest of at least the rest of the summer. That's the plan.
Okay.
So that'll be, I don't know. We'll see.
That'll be there.
We'll see. I don't know. Again, it's just a matter of who.
Fine for Slater.
Well, it's fine for Slater, and it's fine, again, if they're using, like, these guys. I said, I don't mind seeing some of the past guys. What I do mind is, again, we talk about Legends House.
Yeah.
And it was the same fucking guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the next week, Heath Slater can come out. Well, I don't even know where Raw is, but he can come out and say something, and all of a sudden, Don't Go Messing With a Country Boy can play,
yeah.
Right? And Hillbilly, somebody, you have to be doing guys you haven't seen in a while. I would even be fine with, I'm an ass man,
sure.
Some
yeah.
plan. But you won't hear that, because even when the Outlaws did it, it was the bad, beep, Billy Gunn.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So that one was funny. But, so, I mean, I don't know about that one.
The A-double crooked letter.
Yeah, the A-double crooked letter. But I think that, again, that is that is scheduled to continue going forward. So, touch that. But then Kane comes out,
uh-huh.
and then Jinder Mahal's music plays,
uh-huh.
and I was kind of like, "What the fuck?"
And Jinder Mahal leaves out all the guys who feel they've been ignored.
All the jobbers.
Yeah.
Everybody that's lost to Ryback comes out, basically.
Yeah.
Anybody on the roster. So you're Hawkins and Rex and Drew McIntyre and Hunico Camacho.
Yeah.
You know, they come out, and they're about to jump Kane.
Surround him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when
Punker Taker comes
then
out.
The dong hits. And there, okay, we talk about Pop of the Night. Talking about Pop of the Night.
Yeah.
Talking about your mom. Back in 1894,
mm-hmm.
When her cherry was popped.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was,
she was riding a bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like riding a bike. But but she's from Holland, isn't she? So she'd be riding a dyke. But the
go.
Thing
she's
is,
she's Dutch.
Oh, yeah, that's what
Danish.
I said, right?
It's
Danish.
Same thing.
Is that the same Holland Dutch?
Yeah.
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 See, isn't that weird? But. Anyway, so she's fucking a pastry. I don't know. But the fact is...
No, she is a fucking pastry.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's gooey. But the thing is, Undertaker comes out, there's your Pop of the Night, I thought.
She's my cherry pie.
What's that now?
Anyways, Punker Taker.
Punker Taker and Kane beat up the jobbers. Tombstone... Taker's, you know, just there to pose, and just a Taker appearance. It
yeah, but you know what? Taker looked in better shape than he actually did at WrestleMania.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard, I think Meltzer talked about it. He looked awful. I thought he looked great.
No, I thought, yeah, he looked in better shape. It looked like he'd been, yeah, working out better. And yeah.
And again, no indication of any, like, this doesn't further anything. This
no,
is just Taker's here.
Didn't need to.
No, it's just that... Taker's here, and that's
it.
He
gave us little Brothers of the Destruction, and the crowd chanted, "This is awesome."
Exactly.
That wasn't awesome. It was like another guy returning to lead to nothing. But you know what? At this point, I'm realizing this show for me is like, I'm not getting anything new. It's the same thing over and over in every segment. We're not getting any storyline advancement. We're not getting any good wrestling, and it's the same thing. A legend comes out. He's a bigger star than an old guy. Happens a billion times. It happened in every segment, pretty much the whole show. That said, while I'm not enjoying it, the crowd was enjoying it, and I think a lot of people probably like seeing the Undertaker.
I mean, hey, see, I mean, you don't go wrong with seeing the Undertaker and the guys that he beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always said
it don't matter.
Yeah, he didn't bury any of them. It's not like they're any worse off today than they were, you know, a week ago.
No.
So. Here we. I mean, so that's fine.
And he didn't hurt anybody because it was.
He didn't help anybody. Didn't hurt anybody. Just,
no.
It is what it is, right?
He didn't hurt anybody in the ring. He was Undertaker.
Oh,
right
I
back.
See. There you go. That's right.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of hurting people in the ring, I cannot wait. Heath Slater,
mm-hmm.
Ahmed Johnson.
That would be tremendous. Her ho and how. Her ho and how. Yes, that would be excellent.
That would.
I would
actually bring back his music with great music.
I do remember his music being, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I do remember it being great music.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we get to the main event. Fucking finally. Because I was watching this show,
so
where did I go on Monday?
It was 3 hours.
I went out on Monday, And so I watched this on my PVR, and so by the time I'm actually watching this, because I was excited to see the show, I think I started watching it at about 10:30 at night. And so it was like literally, and then there a lot of segments, like I didn't fast forward through a lot.
Yeah.
Because, again, there was a lot of talking, a lot of interaction, a lot of legends that you just sort of watch.
Yeah, you're just sort of watching.
But it's about 1 in the morning by the time this is happening for me now.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck. But, again, a decent match.
That explains why it was a 11:15 when you sent me the text, and this was the exact text, word for word. Fuck, we got to do a show on Raw 1000. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, my new catchphrase.
And I asked you later. I'm like, what was that about? And you're like, oh, I was watching the AJ segment. That's
yes.
I think that text.
Yes. Yes. Fuck.
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 Fuck, AJ.
Samoa Joe is that
Samoa Joe, no doubt, his disdain for AJ. AJ Lee.
He watches wrestling.
That's true. Anyway, with the Punk and Cena are having a decent enough match, I thought. I mean, it's nothing,
okay.
You know,
it was
a good, yeah. So the, basically what happens is Ref Bump, show comes out, choke slams Cena, Punk goes for the cover, ref recovers, 1, 2, and the story of this as well is that during the attack, Punk just lying in the corner, kind of like Jake Roberts in the corner, or Raven in the corner there, with his own, just watching it all unfold, looking conflicted. Like, has that kind of look on his face, like, this is helping me out, so I guess I'm not going to. Anyway, and then, Super Cena, of course, kicks out against all of the odds, and so then Big Show says, fuck that, and jumps in and hits Cena anyway,
mm-hmm.
causing Cena, as I'd said, to be the first guy to cash in Money in the Bank and not win.
But again,
fact that nobody mentioned.
Again, the even then, the CM Punk, should I or shouldn't I take advantage of this? He kind of had a moment where he looked at his hands, you know, and looked Ultimate Warrior like, you know.
Bob Backlund.
Is this my destiny?
Is this?
And then he, you know, eventually covers him. Got some booze. The big thing is afterwards,
Big Show continues to beat on Cena
after the match,
with Punk just again lurched in the corner watching,
mm-hmm.
so nobody helped. And then finally, he just gets in and rolls out of the ring, grabs his belt and rolls out of the ring. And then Rock comes in for the save.
Mm-hmm.
And Rock beats up Big Show, does, you know, his spit on the hand punch thing. Gives him the spine buster, goes for the people's elbow,
yeah.
And just as he's ready to write, CM Punk hits him with a clothesline.
Yeah, flying clothesline.
Clothesline.
You didn't see him coming.
No.
He came with great speed, and it was off camera.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden he was just in there, and the timing was beautiful.
Great camera shot there,
yeah.
Great angle. That the execution of this come out perfectly.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Excellently, as it were.
Yeah, and then he hit him with the GTS.
Then hit him with the GTS.
And then he walked out.
And he held
his look on his face like, fuck you, I don't care what you think.
Yeah. So, and that ends the show.
Crazy.
And that ends the show.
Yeah.
Does a couple of things. As in,
the Rock and Cena also had
a backstage
segment where Rock was like, I'm going to say something to you. I said to CM Punk, good luck. I'm hoping, and basically, yeah, I'm hoping and John Cena's like, I'm going to get this title, and then I'm going to meet you again.
Mm-hmm.
And Rock's like, I would love nothing more.
Yeah, I'd love, yeah. Looking forward to it. And that was preceded, of course, by Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder telling John Cena that Mean Gene was the one behind GTV.
Oh, yeah.
And Gene goes, I was in the other company.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. Just a quick little one line, right? And then he goes, but you were Gene. And then, of course, Gene Okerlund went, please. You know, and so I was like, okay, fine.
And
again,
fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. But with, I mean, again, these short little burst things. I mean, see, yeah. Mean Gene, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But again, so now what we did, that whole segment accomplished a lot of things there. CM Punk's still your champion.
Yep.
CM Punk, presumably now a heel.
Yeah. I think you get Punk one-on-one with Show at SummerSlam.
You think so? Or do you get a three-way?
No. I don't think so. I think storyline wise, you go Punk one on one. Now it's two heels, and in that way, it kind of is he a full heel or not? It kind of furthers that storyline, and then Cena plays somehow into that.
Yeah, that's true. You could do that. I mean, Cena again, the not cashing in a fact they didn't mention, so they'll piggyback on that, and that will get mentioned. That has
they mentioned
to be mentioned.
It in the Raw backstage fallout that I watched, the interview with him.
Oh, yeah, that was a really shitty interview he gave.
Yeah, because...
We had respect
for each other.
And then the only thing I could say about that is that we had respect, because every time we fought, there was respect.
At least there was always respect.
And so all I can say is respect... And I respect the respect that we respected.
Yeah. Also respect. Yeah. So if nobody... Now
respect.
I understand why they have to write lines for him.
Oh, yeah.
He left to do his own promo.
That was poopy.
Yeah.
But the thing was, is, again, not cashed in, so you've still got that going forward. You've set up CM Punk attacking The Rock, so that will set up the Royal Rumble match there. Also, again,
one of the things that was really interesting, because Daniel Bryan was, when he was out there earlier, kept on talking about it was going to be him who's facing CM Punk. Then they did a poll saying, who do you want to see CM Punk, or who do you
Rock.
Want to see The Rock face for the title at Royal Rumble? And the three options were CM Punk, Cena,
and Show,
and not Daniel Bryan. And by the way, CM Punk won, which is good.
Yes. Well, exactly, and that's the thing. So,
and they also didn't push their agenda on that.
No, they didn't. A lot like the Intercontinental one. They mentioned it and left it till, you know.
Exactly.
But the, and AJ yes, AJ no, or whatever it was, right? They did that too.
Yeah.
And again, didn't push it. But the thing is with this, again, what it does do is, again, Rock, Punk at Rumble. Rock wins the title. Cena wins the Rumble. You go in and you've got a match there. Right,
Rock.
For the title, Rock defending the title against John Cena, right?
Exactly.
Telegraphic perfectly for 9 months.
Yeah.
That is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing
at all, because that is perfect.
And there was a guy who wasn't on the show who was missing. So there's still speculation will be CM Punk's opponent at WrestleMania.
Dewey Robertson. The missing link.
The missing link. Former WWE superstar.
Yes, that's true. When you talk about historical superstars.
Well, I think
superstars.
Of people from the 80s who were in the WWE.
Well,
yeah. Missing link.
But, yeah, see, what you've done there exactly, like you say, is you have turned Punk heel exactly to be able to go and fight Austin now at WrestleMania.
Austin wasn't there because he just recently had knee surgery.
July 2nd, he had knee surgery,
and
yeah.
And he didn't want to come out and not look like an ass kicker and come out on crutches. That,
yeah. Also filming the movie with Adam Sandler there, The Grown Ups too.
Oh, that's right.
He's
that's
in
right,
that
yeah.
too. So that is part of the thing there. So, but anyway, so but they did show a video package
is,
of Austin.
If you look back over the last little while, CM Punk's character, well, it seems like it came out of nowhere. There's a really nice guy. He was so nice to AJ. All of a sudden, does this? The subtle seeds have been planted.
Oh yeah.
I don't mind it. I just think it's like. CM Punk is the heel again, and John Cena is the face again, and I've seen this, and it's not new, and it's not fresh, and I would love to have seen it the other way around, but storyline-wise, this makes sense.
Yes.
Unfortunately for me, the product as a general whole just is really, more often than not good enough for me.
Well, this is, as I said, they talk about now this being the big summer angle, the fact that Punk is a heel. We do need a great promo because...
This was just an angle, right?
That's what's going to push it is what we really need, and again, I hate to keep going back because, again, what's worked before can work again. What you need is heel Punk cutting a promo, and he needs to have... Daniel Bryan and Antonio Cesaro and Cassius Ohno and, you know, even Colt Cabana. You know, like, he needs guys.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a stable of guys around him protecting that title and just being the heel faction.
I would not include Daniel Bryan, but other than that, the other guys.
We have not had a heel faction. My dog just farted.
And we thought it was hot in here.
Oh, my God.
Oh
anyway.
My God, that is unreal.
That is.
What the hell do you feed this?
I know. Oh, fuck. Yeah, please leave. now he's embarrassed that he's leaving. But,
thank God.
Well, you don't have to thank me.
He's
but the fact is that the Yeah, I mean, you do need something that we haven't had a heel faction in a while.
In a long time.
Really. I mean, we've had Nexus a couple of years ago, I guess, now. And yeah, but I don't count any of that.
Prime
bullshit. We have,
players,
they're,
sort of.
They're not a group,
all
no.
Entertainment.
Nah, it doesn't exist, though. It's just a tag team and a manager. That's
was
it.
More
so.
For about 2 weeks.
What? Well, no, it was, he was.
They had four people in there at one point. No, I guess they didn't.
No, they didn't. He was courting guys, and then it didn't happen. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, it's a main group that you could get behind it and do and help to keep the title. That, to me, is really the only kind of fresh thing that I could see happening, because you're right. I mean, I'm looking at I mean, I'm going to watch Raw 1001 like I said I would.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, AJ is general manager. A heel CM Punk against a babyface John Cena where... Again, you're going to go into Los Angeles and people are going to cheer Punk and boo Cena or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're back to that dynamic of there's nothing fresh. We're back to what we did before the pipe bomb.
Exactly.
You know, we're exactly where we were before
the
pipe bomb.
That's one thing I would love to have seen if there's other way of Cena turn heel and Punk being the babyface.
Well, here's the other...
Storyline-wise, it just makes more sense, I suppose. So you could have had the heel John Cena against the babyface Rock.
Too, here's the other thing to me is that what you've done again is you've somewhat cut the legs off of CM Punk to the point where, again, you're not turning Cena heel until there's an heir apparent,
mm-hmm.
right? Randy Orton's not that guy.
No.
CM Punk looked like he could be that guy.
Yeah.
Then he took a pedigree. Then he went in with Alberto Del Rio and The Miz, and it didn't, you know what I mean? Like, the legs cut off there.
Yeah.
Sheamus is not that guy. Daniel Bryan is not that guy. Like, there's nobody there that's there. So they're not turning Cena heel until there is that guy, right?
Yeah.
And so that, to me, again, Punk, with this title reign, they're talking about how many days he beat Bret Hart, he beat Hulk Hogan's reigns now to move up to whatever. You had a chance with that long title reign of keeping the momentum behind CM Punk, rebuilding to the point where he could be that, maybe not as big as Cena, but enough where you could turn Cena and have Punk as your top babyface, and it would work.
Yeah.
Right? Now now he's turned heel, again, you've cut that out.
He has. You know, if he holds the belt until Royal Rumble, which is still quite a long time still.
Yeah, January, right?
He gets
another
few months right in there. And then he goes in and faces Steve Austin. Beats him.
Or The Rock, you mean.
Against Steve Austin.
At Mania.
Mania.
Right.
Beats him and gets that rub. Then maybe people will see him at that level where then he can become the babyface again and be their apparent. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe. But, I mean, again, it's. But, again, that doesn't help me in the next 9 months.
No.
You know, in terms, that doesn't help me for Raw 2002.
No.
Is really what it comes down to. So they have to do something with CM Punk at this point to hook me to the point where.
And I agree, if you bring in a stable for him, that's the way to go. You can bring in, like, say, Colt Cabana, Luke Gallows.
Well, Luke Gallows is a bit busy right now, but in his own group.
He'll get there. Yeah.
But, yeah. But, but again, I mean, you've got Cesaro and Cassius Ohno. Maybe you bring in his twin, Seth Rollins.
Sure.
And I mean, who knows, right? I mean, there's people that you can use in the group to help to build up. And again, going back to, he can be a heel, but he can be someone that is still outspoken.
You bring in Dean Ambrose. He's another.
Exactly. Artist. I mean, these are guys that do the. These are guys that the people don't, that the suits don't want you to see. They want you to cheer for John Cena. They don't want you to see the better guys that are out there, and I've got the better guys, and here they are, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't put Daniel Bryan in there because I think he's too big and he's his own thing. I think you got to try and build that, and Charlie Sheen or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you do that. But
that's
I agree with you. I didn't think that's the way to go.
But
so are we done on WWE?
I think we're at least done on Raw.
Let's hit the rest of WWE's news points. What's the show at now?
Well, I just wanted to. I don't know, about a minute. We're an hour in.
Yeah, okay.
But SmackDown, I don't want to go through too much, but SmackDown, a lot of long matches.
A lot of long matches, some pretty good wrestling, storyline wise, nothing that really hooked me any further.
Burnout from Raw 1000.
I think so. Yeah.
So an easy, simple show. One thing, we talk about the treadmill, and again, things happening before, like they were before. Fucking Alberto Del Rio wins the number one contendership again.
I needed that.
And I was like, fuck you, you needed to do him and Ray at the SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But No, now he's...
But there was nobody, but the problem is, that's the problem, is you can't do Ziggler and Shane no. either. So, I mean, you don't have anybody else set up there. So, I mean, I think it would have been nice to do Sheamus, and I don't know, I mean...
I would have done Kane, to be honest.
I would have done Kane, too.
Just to, again, this is going to be fifth...
They've got him babyface again here.
But it doesn't matter, it still is going to be fifth from the top, and you know what I mean? It's
that's
just,
what I would have done, too.
You know.
I'd agree with you, yeah.
But anyway, so that is, that's it. Other news in terms of, we talk about the Raw rating, did a 3.8.
Yeah.
The final 2 hours of 4.2.
Yeah.
And the, I think it was a 4.5 on the important, over the over on the important thing where Punk turned heel.
Yeah.
Was one of the, it was one of the biggest, I think it was the biggest, audience rating that they had since that no commercial Donald Trump show.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is very misleading, big. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, again, that's no commercials there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and Donald.
Well, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, still, again, with the no commercials, that I think you still would have been looking at like a 3.5 with commercials kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
exactly.
With Donald Trump or without him. So that's, I guess, good news for the show. For I mean, it's good news in the fact that, again,
it's
they...
good news, but if they're back to... Okay, let's put it this way. It's good news. And they have been building up to 3.4, so 3.5.
What has?
3.1 over the last little while. But if they go down to Raw 1000, goes to a 3, let's say 3.5, and after that they go to a 3.2.
Yeah.
It's
well, you're right, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there, and right now it's good news. And a lot of people saw the Punk
they're
turn.
They're ecstatic.
Well, they are. I mean, but they're very in the moments. And again, you're right, a long-term trend will be what's there. We won't be able to really talk about that until just before SummerSlam, I think.
Exactly.
But we're definitely going to keep an eye out on it. But again, a lot of people saw Punk turn heel. So
yep.
Hopefully that bodes well for the opening. It'll be very interesting to see whether Punk opens the show or if Punk opens the second hour. Do they have?
I think you save him for the very end again.
That could be too. But do they? Do they? But how many people? You know what I mean? Like, are it's going to be very interesting to see how they are. You know, because it's going to take a while for people to get accustomed to the new start time, right?
That's
in
true.
In theory, so
they do know to open strong again. But I think you open with John Cena, or you can't open with The Rock, obviously. So I mean, that sucks. That's the guy you want to open with coming off of, because somehow what he did to The Rock is far more of, I think, has far more interest and sympathy, and it seemed like far more of a heel move than what he did to John Cena.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's because it was a blatant attack.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. At least the other one, you could defend it. He was just defending his title.
Exactly.
But this was, yeah, I mean, this is a prick move, right? So that's the guy you want. And maybe you have something on satellite, or maybe you have some video they recorded backstage.
That's
that
true. Or, yeah.
And you never know.
He does a YouTube thing from via the set again, right? Okay. I mean, there is that option,
so
right?
We'll see.
So,
we'll see what they go with.
So that'll be interesting. But again, so that's really the WWE story.
The satellite.
Great Khali has recently had a tumor removed.
Yeah.
I guess it's a tumor that causes the acromegaly.
Oh, really?
It's tumor, or it's caused from acromegaly, I'm not sure. I guess some of the bigger guys, like Bigfoot Silva, the MMA fighter, and Hongman Choi have had this same surgery. It's Dr. Maroon again in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
That did it, but he's had surgery. So former guest on the show, so get well wishes to the great Khali.
The great Khali?
Yes.
That's right.
Speaking of guests.
Yeah.
I was going to hook up a guest. Do you want me to call him now?
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a call.
Let's talk... call him now here. This fellow we talked about Kelly and how and that anal segment, and so we thought of when we were talking about it earlier that when we heard anal, we'd had to get this guy along. So are you there, caller? Maybe could you state your name and where you're from?
Hello.
Hi.
It's Wade from Minnesota.
Wade from Minnesota. How are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Well, good. Good.
As you know, I'm one of the most important characters in the history of wrestling.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know Dave Meltzer?
I know Dave Meltzer. I taught him everything he knows about how to do a newsletter, and he just copied and copied.
Wow. Well, how about, you said you're from Minnesota. Did you watch any of the AWA, I guess, growing up?
Did I watch any of the AWA? The AWA was there just for me.
Oh.
Because like, they knew I was coming down. So
uh-huh.
They'd be like, I put on this show for Wade, and then I decided whether or not it was any good, and I put it in my newsletter.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, that's interesting. Now, I guess we'll fast forward to some of the more recent events. What did you think about last year's WrestleMania and the main event of the show?
It was pretty good, but okay, so here's the problem, okay? So The Rock came out, and he's bald now,
mm-hmm.
and, like, baby faces
right.
are bald, heels are.
Oh.
And that's just wrong. And there's ways that you do wrestling. There's ways that it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways that it's done wrong. And I just think, like, if the crowd doesn't know if a guy's supposed to be cheered or booed, you know? And then John Cena, like, he was a little off on that night.
Oh.
Because, like, he looked to me like he didn't tie one of his shoes tight enough.
Oh.
So it looked like it was a little loose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can't tell if he's supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy mm. if your shoelaces aren't tied tight enough,
mm,
you know?
I see. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. It's a lot of things. See, that's the kind of detail a lot of people don't see, right?
So, I know.
And what do you think about leading up to the match there, between The Rock and John Cena?
Well, the thing about it was I was a little worried, you know, because these guys really hate each other, you know?
They do?
Yeah, no, that's real.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was really bad, because I was like, well, what happened? Like, the things they're saying about each other, it's mm. so real.
Oh, so it wasn't, like, a part of the show?
No, of
oh.
course not, no.
Because oh.
they were really mean.
Oh, so it wasn't a work, is what you're saying?
No, it was real.
Oh.
It was wrestling, it was real, and it was, like, and everything else is a work around it, but then this is real, and it's wrestling, and it's really happening.
Wow.
And it was real.
That's insight. Well, wait, we gotta let you go.
No.
Yeah, we do.
You said I was anal.
What?
You said I was anal.
Liked anal, are anal. I mean, it's a lot of different semantics here, but we're gonna let you go.
Anal.
All right, we had to just cut him off there.
Seriously, how fucking annoying is that guy?
I know, right?
Wade.
Jesus, man.
Not Wade Barrett.
No, definitely not Wade Barrett. Holy.
All right, what are we getting to?
Let's should we go in? I've got an email question that I got as well.
Okay.
That's time. We do want to do that and then go to Impact.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Well, this one was actually and it's timely because just yesterday the Olympics, Summer Olympics open.
I heard about that.
Yeah, something happened that way. The opening ceremony.
Talk about failing a stereotype?
Possibility is there, Ben Johnson. But the thing is, with this question, and it was from our old pal, Davey. And he asked for us, he goes, well, just with the Olympics in London and opening up, I understand the obvious one being Kurt Angle, that there's been former professional wrestlers or professional wrestlers that have been former Olympians, and he'd just like to talk about the ones that we know.
Ken Patera obviously comes to mind quickly.
Yeah, Ken Patera was in the 1972 Munich Games.
Yeah, I think he won bronze medal.
No, he won nothing. He was really highly touted, just like Mark Henry, the 1996 Olympian.
Yeah.
In that they were winning like events leading up to it. I think it was Pan American Games that Ken Patera was really winning, and he was the first American, I think, to bench 500 pounds there. But yeah, he walked away with nothing.
With diddly squat
out of Munich, Germany, 1972 Olympics, and same with Mark Henry, of course, mm-hmm. with that. Kurt Angle, as he mentioned, the only Olympic gold medalist.
What was it that Iron Sheik won? It wasn't a gold.
It wasn't the Olympics. It was like a
Olympics.
Pan American again,
yeah,
I think.
Game.
You mentioned him to me earlier, but Bad News Brown.
That's right,
won judo, a bronze medal
in
judo,
and
the Montreal Games in 1968.
Alan Totage.
Vern Gagne. I don't know if he'd won anything, but he competed in like the 1948 games. You know who else competed in the 1948 games? Well, Vern, of course, for America, but competed for Canada in the 1948 Olympics as a wrestler. I think, they did Greco-Roman or freestyle, I'm not sure which. But picture this man as an Olympian, Mad Dog Vachon.
Seriously,
was an Olympic wrestler for Canada in the 1948 Olympics. Yeah, a lot of the Japanese too. They've had a lot of guys like Mr. Saito and Hiro Hase and guys like that have done it. But those are really Brad Rangins. He was an AWA guy and went into the WWE. He may have gone, but it was 1980. I remember that was the joke Bobby Heenan always used to say was the 1980 Olympics were in Moscow, so America abstained, and then the Russians abstained from 84 in Los Angeles. But Bobby Heenan's big thing was, Brad Rangan's on the U.S. Wrestling team. He coached them, too. He goes, that's why America didn't go to the Moscow games. It had nothing to do with the politics. It's because Brad Rangan's trained our wrestlers. We get embarrassed.
There's probably a few other guys that could have been, but didn't go for one reason. Jack Briscoe was a high level wrestler. Probably could have been an Olympian.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Steve Williams.
Right. Yeah. Right? Exactly. So
Steve Williams.
A few of the guys, but those are the ones that we do know. So just it's topical with the Olympics. So
yeah,
we throw it in there. But speaking of Kurt Angle, let's move over to Impact.
Now, first off, let's talk a little bit about the release from Impact. Both of the beautiful people are gone.
This is true.
Angelina Love and Velvet Sky are both gone from TNA.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, these guys were actually pretty much actually the biggest television draw.
Yeah.
As a team, they were probably the biggest television draw, bigger than Kurt Angle and Booker T at the time and stuff like that.
Let the pigeons loose, yeah.
Yeah, they were actually a big draw for them there, and they're both gone now.
TNA let the pigeons loose, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're talking about loose, and we're talking about Angelina Love and Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
So, and this is right after the Velvet Sky release is obviously bigger because Angelina Love hadn't been on television. And they just put her in that music video that they hooked up with that.
Because they were trying to get Mickey James to turn on her, right?
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Heel on her. So,
it's kind of interesting timing. She says stay tuned. So she made it sound like there's a tease for something else coming.
Velvet Sky teasing something?
Yeah, exactly. Made it sound like either she's coming back or, I think the speculation has to be would one or both of them end up in the WWE? Velvet Sky is, I believe, 31. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how old Angelina Love is. But, even the Les Cool group that kind of had a little momentum when it was Michelle McCool and Layla there, was in many ways seen as inspired by beautiful people, just not quite as good. But, it was a pretty popular act. I'd be interested to see. Velvet Sky is hot as hell. So is Angelina Love. It's Velvet Sky especially. But you know what? She is. Velvet Sky can't wrestle, but neither can Mickey or Kelly Kelly. I'd be curious as to whether or not she'd end up there and how she or both of them would do. What do you think?
Well, I always liked Velvet Sky. You said can't wrestle, but I'd like to see her box. Angelina Love. I never thought she was all that hot. Velvet Sky was the hotter one to me. Yeah, and so.
Angelina Love is too thin.
Velvet Sky, I thought without makeup would look hot, but I never thought that about Angelina Love.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a situation. Could they end up in the WWE? It's possible, I guess. They're not too right now. They don't seem like they're really. They don't give a fuck about the women right now. They got bumped from Raw 1000. They had a segment,
sure.
But they got bumped. There doesn't seem to be any sort of push or focus on the division.
Part of that is because you lost Kelly Kelly. Carmine never came back. You lost the Bellas. You lost, you don't have a lot there. That it's like, okay, how many times can we put Layla and Beth in the ring? They don't trust Natty, for instance. They don't think they, like.
Well, it's the gas.
Well, yeah, it's the gas. It's that they still think she doesn't look like a WWE diva, even though I think she's hot as hell.
Yeah.
It's that type of deal. So it's.
It's possible you could do, but I don't see them. When you're talking about this lawsuit and when the lawsuit is settled, them getting guys like Ric Flair and Matt Morgan, I don't see them, Velvet Sky, being on that list. I see Alex Shelley being on that list.
She said stay tuned, which makes me think if it's not, going to be ROH, and she's not probably going back to TNA.
Shimmer!
It's not going to be Shimmer, it's not WWE, so that means probably, some sort of reality show or something like that, or television show, something along those lines?
I think she goes to, you talk about resurgence.
Yeah.
I think Velvet Sky is the resurgent for All Japan Women.
There you go.
So.
There you go. Well, they need to work her that level.
Stay tuned. You know what? Honestly, I don't care.
Okay.
So
I do, because I don't know if you know this about me and Velvet Sky, but I'd fuck her.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Breaking news. But I don't know.
Let's get on to Impact. I love this show.
Yeah,
this show
speaking of me fucking Velvet Sky, let's get on to Impact. I think, it is a great show. I don't think we need to do that one segment by segment per se, but just so hit the highlights there. I really like that. I mean, the main thing here is Sting comes out, then Austin Aries comes out, and then Kurt Angle comes out, and they're all talking about aces and eights.
Because
we've all been attacked. And then Robert Roode comes out, or Bobby Roode comes out, stands at the ramps, also been attacked by aces and eights, but of course a heel. He says the leader of aces and eights is James Storm.
Yes.
And so...
trust me, you guys don't know him like I do.
That's right.
I've known him for longer. I've been close with him for longer. Mm-hmm. I know him like you more than you.
That's
exactly the type of thing he'd do.
So to me, and of course then James Storm comes out.
And the guys in the ring that have this, we don't want to believe it.
Right.
But we can't 100%, they're paranoid. They can't 100% dismiss it.
Exactly.
Which leads to a segment backstage with Angle asking.
Well, Storm comes out, and it beats them, and they all kind of let them just fight. They don't get involved. They just let them fight. And then, then Angle asks them, and then Storm kind of stares off in space.
It seems to me this is not leading to James Storm actually being the leader of this.
No.
It's just leading to a reason to have them have a Bound for Glory match, not for the title.
This also, possibly, or again,
him and Roode.
Twist on the Sting deal, right? Sting become Crow Sting because WCW turned on him.
Yeah,
Luger and the Horsemen and such, saying you're with them, and he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
And then he become his own man, right?
Yeah.
And going after stuff. So it's a twist on that.
Yeah.
But it's great. And then later on, it was James Storm. Was he fighting Kurt Angle or who was James Storm? It was a Bound for Glory. AJ Styles, right?
Yeah.
And then aces and eights come out in that match, attack
AJ and not Storm.
Exactly.
Storm essentially gets away unscathed.
And then I think there was another match where aces and eights come out, and James Storm did the run in, and aces and eights
at the end. And then
and they just bailed without him laying a finger on him. So again, there's still that.
Yeah, I think that was at the end. That was Kurt Angle and Bully Ray, and Kurt Angle pins Bully Ray, and then they come out to attack.
Right, that's right.
Sting and Aries
come out.
And then at the end, Storm comes out, and he's the one who clears the ring. But the guys still don't.
Without touching him. He clears the ring without touching him.
Yeah.
They just, when James Storm runs down, they all bail.
They all bail.
And so, again, there still hasn't been any physical contact, so there's still all that.
And Storm versus Double J at Bound for Glory as well? And you could have the rematch. You could have Storm, Roode and Aries, and then do Storm and Double J.
Well, no, Rude's got to. It's the winner of the Bound for Glory series has to fight the champion, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's. I mean, I still, like you said, I still do Jeff Hardy winning, or like you said, or Kurt Angle winning, and them fighting Austin Aries, but. But no, I. But that really good. That was the show long kind of angle there, and it was really well done. Another excellent chapter. It was.
And the people are still maintaining a lot. I'm not sure what the rating was.
Oh.
Was it good for the show?
I believe they did a 1.58 million. I don't know what the rating point, but it was basically when you factored.
The back DirecTV that's been
I was going to say, DirecTV has been settled. So the rating last week was really good without DirecTV.
Yeah.
If you factor in the DirecTV, what they normally do would get, say, from that direct 20% or whatever it is, the DirecTV, the rating a little higher than last week, factoring that in. But still, their best audience in years.
And they're trending up because the show is really good and they have an angle. People are interested
exactly.
in it. People like you and me are saying to people like Jamie, try it.
Yeah.
Just try it.
And that's what's happening is people are trying it and they're liking it.
This is a groundswell. It takes a while, but it's good.
Well, that's just it. And I mean, you look at, again, this was another twist. This wasn't the same old, they just attacked. They fight back a little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say WCW, but the TNA fight back a little bit, but they don't, nobody's got an advantage yet.
No.
And there's still obviously the mystery around who these guys are that shouldn't be unveiled until Bound for Glory.
No, it shouldn't. Even though it has been unveiled in the Observer newsletter.
Well, exactly, and on our website,
WeTalkWrestling.com. Yeah.
But no, it's that's kind of the they shouldn't be unveiled on television until point. But that was the whole main show long angle that I liked.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked, only a small video package of Claire Lynch.
Yes.
Again.
That wasn't the only thing I liked. That did help,
though. I am not, as I said, I'm not as against this Claire Lynch as some other people are.
No, I'm not either.
That said, again, slowing it down. It's just all about slowing it down,
right?
The
thing with this Aces and Eights, it's being a big part of the show this week. Next week it may come back and it may be focused on Bound for Glory tournament a little bit. And you know what I mean? It's like not one thing has... It's not like AJ is on the show every week and she's taking over 10 segments.
Well,
and they do that. They kind of stagger the storyline. So this week this is the main focus, and this week it's this one. And again, that's part of, but we just keep it out there enough so everybody knows.
That might be
happening.
A good idea for a column for you. Better worker, AJ Lee or Claire Lynch. But really, I mean, at least in the Claire, I mean, they're both awful, but it's the opposite. Alone is the main difference between TNA and WWE, is that AJ is rammed down the throats, and the Claire Lynch thing is still a slow progress.
It's a part of the show, but like I say, their focus, every week they might change what the big storyline is, just to keep things going. A couple other things I love. Chavo, what a fucking great debut. Chavo Guerrero came out. I thought this was awesome. I mean, first off, they had the fantastic video package the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, they had a bunch of people come out there and talk about him.
Right,
and they all built him up.
Yes.
But some of them also made it seem like they might have an issue with him, and that was Gunnar and Kid Cash.
Yes.
Right? But Kurt Angle put him over strong.
What? No.
Yes.
Which, no, the cue card Kurt Angle was reading put
doesn't
him
matter.
Over strong.
It doesn't matter.
I have wrestled Chavo's uncle, Eddie, many times, and I have also had great matches with Chavo Guerrero. Yes, it does. That was awful.
All right.
Kurt Angle was so... I was just like, holy fuck.
It doesn't matter. The point is, though, is that you make an acquisition...
It was a good idea.
It's a good idea, okay? The point is, you make an acquisition seem like a star. You make it like a big deal. Then he came out, and what's his name?
Hector?
Supermax.
Hernandez.
Hernandez also put him over.
Yes.
So, I mean, you had him come out then, and it probably cut a better promo than anything I can remember him having... for a long, long time in WWE. He's had a good promo, seemed charismatic, really was on point, didn't stammer. Nice thing.
It was a couple of things, but...
I thought it was good. It wasn't the best promo I've seen cut. That was the one the week before before Rey Mysterio showed up.
I too...
About himself being the best Mexican.
I did not like two things in his promo, and I mean, again, overall, I liked the segment. Again, but in terms of when he said "Odole mi raza," I said that's your uncle's shit, and you just sound stupid saying it.
I think you can tie it in one time, but you know I mean, Conan was saying it before him too. So
well, I know, but that just sounded like a cheap knockoff of Eddie, is what that sounded like, and that was the first thing he said, and I thought, oh fuck, don't go there, and he didn't.
It didn't bug me.
The other part was when Kid Cash and Gunnar come or walking into the ring. And Chavo says, "I'm not calling myself a wrestling legend. These people are." And
yeah,
I'm like,
I thought that was a little bit of a...
No, they are not.
They weren't chanting heavy for him, though.
But they weren't calling him a wrestling legend.
No,
and I thought, okay, I laughed at that.
But
I thought that's a bit
set
much.
Up a Hernandez who came in to save him from the 2-on-1 beatdown.
What did Kid Cash call the people? Government-funded punks or something?
I liked that
line.
That was good.
I liked that line.
I really enjoyed this segment a lot. The other thing that was a highlight for me was Sting, who was put in charge with Hogan out.
Right, as general manager, yes.
Let Austin Aries, as the former X Division champion, decide who was going to face
Zema Ion that night.
So having backstage segments with Dakota Darso.
Yes.
Kenny
King.
Kenny King.
Sanjay Dutt.
Sanjay Dutt and
Cameron.
Cameron. What's his name?
Rashad Cameron.
This was great. Holy fuck. Now, this is comedy.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. It doesn't have to be this over-the-top, obvious slapstick announcers laughing shit.
No.
I mean, having fucking Austin Aries backstage going, okay, so we got two African-Americans, we got an American Asian.
No. It was after Rashad Evans was booted, because he was booted first, and he goes, Kenny, you're an African-American. Sanjay, you're an Indian-American. And Dakota, you're Russian-American?
And Dakota goes,
he goes, your dad was Russian, and he goes, well, he was a sympathizer, but we won't talk about that.
I
The thing I wrote right
because,
here...
Because his dad was Crusher
Khrushchev, Demolition
Smash. In WCW. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
The thing I wrote right here, Dakota Darso, I like now.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have to really know who these guys are to get that, why that's so funny.
Yeah.
But it is hilarious, and it's not so, it's subtle.
Well, and
even, it doesn't take away if you didn't get that.
Exactly, when he goes in and gets kicked out, and he goes, let me know how your dad's repo business is doing.
Yeah, it's awesome, you know? The repo man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought, you know, but yeah, again.
I like it, you know, so you're what, you're not the flashy guy? No, I'm not the flashy guy, I'm just a take care of business. Yeah, it's the X Division, it's all about the flash.
Yes, it's all about the flash, so you're cut. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. Great, right?
No, it's just a tremendous and awesome area, and it was hilarious.
See, but now...
I love that.
Now you can play up with Dakota Darso.
Yes.
You need the flash, I'll show you the flash,
exactly,
then, right?
Exactly.
So then that's again, we'll build on that. I mean, because I have confidence that they'll actually do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I really think this was really terrific.
But yeah, I did too, and then at the end, it was a very tough decision, but, you know, we're not sure that you're medically cleared, Sanjay.
Yeah.
So go in.
So Sanjay's frustration over that he had the belt in his hands and
yes.
Didn't bring it down and is not getting a shot can lead to something.
Exactly. There's that. And now Kenny King, it's good that he's on the show now because he wasn't on for a couple weeks. And,
yeah.
I mean, again, we talk about slowing things down, but there still was a speculation, like, has this guy been hired or did he just fuck over ROH to be unemployed now, right? So, you know, fuck over, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
leave them to be unemployed. But again, it seems in. And of course, next week, they've announced it's going to be the tag match of Rude and Ion against Aries and Kenny King as a tag team. So, that, of course, just builds another match for next week, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And a logical progression, and again, not blowing your load
I'll
with
take,
stuff.
Now I'm going to take something that's the only thing I didn't like, and something that still even has something good come out of it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the gut check challenge.
Oh,
the
guy
who won the gut check this week.
His name is Sam Snead, you better recognize. No, it was Sam Stout or something, I think?
Sam Stout, something like that. I can't remember. I think Sam Stout might be a UFC guy. Doesn't matter. The
That's
point
true.
Is, the point is that whoever it was who won this week, and this is
Smith?
The point. His
name is Sam, though, right?
I'm pretty sure it's Sam something, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you look it up.
I'm going to look it up because this is pissing me off.
Yeah,
but
the point is, the problem is here is, gut check is now really gotten into a rut because it's the same thing. It's the guy comes out, has a match, he loses. Then the guys talk about him a little bit. You get the feeling that they all disagree. Then they all come in the ring. They say yes or no. Two of them, one says yes, one says no. He cuts a little promo, and then he gets the contract. And now we've seen this multiple times.
Well, I just enjoyed the Sam Shaw.
Sam Shaw, there you go.
I just enjoyed the fact that Al Snow is like, I didn't see it. I gotta say no. Like what?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, yeah. But what I liked was after he won it, he comes up to Al Snow, he pushes him, he goes, why'd you say no for me? And Al's like, I didn't see it. He's like, why'd you say no? That's fucking good. And he looks at the camera that was right there, and he goes, oops. And he
keeps
going.
Yeah.
But, and they didn't bleep that one out.
No.
It is up for a larger point, is that this guy got it, and this other guy, you know, the chick got it, and whatever, everybody's getting it, except for Joey Ryan, who 87% agreed.
And I think that, I was just about to say, that may very well be the angle.
That is the angle. It's because he showed up in the crowd again. Joey Ryan's the one guy who hasn't gotten the contract, despite having 87% of the audience want him, and really looking like he was good enough to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and it did set up, that's why, I mean, he punched Al Snow. Al Snow said, you want my attention, you got my attention.
Yeah.
It's leading to something. So,
it is.
So even though, like I say, the segment is dragging because the segment is the exact same every week, and now I've seen it so many times.
The only thing I'll
give them this, at least they have an angle coming out of it that I think is really being well done.
Well, that's just his background for the angle, and I will say, at least this week,
and you're introducing them to
Taylor. This particular gut check, there was the whole Aces and Eights attacked him, so it got pushed back a week kind of thing, right? So they did all that too. So
now they need to bring in a heavyweight or a. A heavyweight
or even a tag team, or
an established guy.
I think you go a tag team. Oh, yeah, you're right, an established guy. Like, you try a Val Venus or someone like that, right? Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that when you talk about established guys, is, you know, maybe with this, if they're going to continue these legend segments on Raw, you know, how many of them will go on that with, out, you know, thinking that maybe they're going to get our exposure on Raw, which
yeah.
is, you know what I mean? But like a Val Venus, I would think, right? Or Godfather, something like that. So,
yeah. Well, I was thinking even a guy like D.H. Smith you actually would bring in. Maybe that's a guy because he's not part of.
Well, that's true too.
You know?
That's true.
So I was thinking.
I think DH though would get kind of lost in.
Or MVP because he's not part of it. I think that would be actually interesting.
The other part would be when a guy actually wins a match too, right?
Yeah.
So there are some stories you
There's
could tell with this. I think a tag team is an easy one.
I think tag team is easy, and they did the trick. But essentially the presentation has been the exact same too often.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they just need to mix that up.
They do need to, yeah, maybe mix it up.
But other than that, I mean... The
only other thing, again, that I noticed, I have heard it it mentioned, and I noticed it, I dismissed it, but it is worth mentioning that he was, in fact, Joker Sting.
Who was?
Sting. Come out with the Joker Sting.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sting.
Yeah.
There was a shooting.
Oh, shit.
That was like, I was just like, huh, so that's interesting. I mean, again, no malicious intent involved, but I just, as soon as I saw that he had the Joker Sting face paint was the first thing that he said, I was like, huh, all right. I mean, again,
I love that Eric Young showed up with Hilarious 1 week ago in like 3 minutes and then not on for, like,
exactly, right.
on for a month.
Yeah.
Because it continues the story, even then if it continues the storyline, of, hey, go out and get my wings, and you don't show up for another month.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Even if you do that, I'm into it, because it's funny in its little segments. TNA actually, when it tries to be funny, actually makes me laugh. It's so overbearing, and it's not all the time. It's not too much humor.
These guys.
The idea that he would do that every now and then, it's like, why are you doing that? Well, you're my wife, but I don't really like you.
Yeah,
it's like, that's the payoff. That's the punchline.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, oh, no, that's great. Well, and the fact that ODB would be okay with that, too. You know, like, I don't really like
you.
She'd be like,
the whole thing's just perfect.
It's a
good show.
I thought again.
If you're not, again, I'll tell you, you haven't tried Impact, try Impact.
Yes. Well, no, really, it's a great, it is
Give
a great.
Give it 2 weeks, and if you're not into it, I'll be amazed.
Exactly. I mean, it builds and it's slow paced and really, I mean, you can watch stuff over
Wrestling. Like the match, the Kurt Angle, only one match blew me away, but that Kurt Angle, Bully Ray match was
mm-hmm.
horrendous.
Yeah,
just an awesome.
And
match.
Again, no Joseph Park, right?
No.
I mean, like they.
But again, you don't need to every week push everything.
That's what it is, right? Is that they've got these things kind of. Again, paced out. We talk about Raw 1001, 1002 and stuff, but these, I mean, Impact in 3 weeks, you know, or 2 weeks at least, we'll have things. I mean, like, I would expect Joseph Park next week.
Exactly.
You know, I would expect a Claire Lynch thing next week, but I wouldn't expect as much Aces and Eights.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they would probably push with the...
And same thing, on a pay-per-view, you could see where they could have this title defended and this title, but not this one, and
well,
that's fine.
Let's talk about that as well, but they haven't...
Devon. Not on TV every week defending the belt. That's the one thing that's kind of being lost in the
That's true. He's got a contract dispute happening, though, right now, right? Or,
yeah,
you know, with
yeah.
him and Bully Ray. And but the other part...
Bully Ray's on.
Well, he is, but he's also an agent and wields a little more influence back there, too.
Yeah.
So, and if the two of them, that if you were going to keep...
Yeah.
Like, you're keeping Bully Ray,
yeah.
right? So you're maybe placating to his demands a little more than Devon, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and by a little, I mean a lot. And it's a situation, though, is, I don't even remember where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, there's a pay-per-view on August the 12th.
Yeah.
And they've got the main event of Rude, Aries, the rematch.
Yeah.
But then when we watched that, the last of Destination X, they had the commercial for, you know, 12 men or 15 men, 4 matches or whatever it was, 12 men, 3 matches or whatever it is,
yeah.
hardcore, TNA goes extreme, blah, 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 for this Bound for
Glory
series, right?
They
haven't announced what that is at all.
You got time and you're...
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you don't have a lot of time at this point. Like,
no,
I think next week it has to get...
See, that's what WWE, it's like they're doing their storylines and they'll go, oh, shit, we got a pay-per-view. Then they'll have 2 weeks where they go, oh, we've got to get these pay-per-view angles over and they're not over. Here it's different because
What
you're doing is even if you're not setting up the pay-per-view matches, if you're setting up the angles, and the angles actually matter when you turn them into pay-per-view matches. Well, people care more.
What this kind of reminds me of is Attitude Era WWF.
Yeah.
Is that the product was hot and there was a lot going on and the angles were ongoing.
Yeah.
So you didn't really have, you would announce a few matches, but if you threw in a tag team scramble match or you put on an intercontinental title, it all made sense in the story that it would happen.
Yeah.
You just didn't necessarily announce and promote and build to it. You were kind of just naturally building to it.
Exactly.
And that's what I said. I assume it'll be like a Kazarian AJ thing, right?
Exactly. Whereas nowadays it's like all of a sudden they'll turn around and go, yeah, 2 weeks, we got to set up that match. Who the fuck is Sheamus going to defend against?
Yeah.
Ziggler, go pin him down in a tag match.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that match will happen. And it's like really shitty.
Yeah. Take the brogue kick first, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no, I think.
And after,
and maybe even during.
Yeah.
During the pin, you're taking a brogue kick.
It's
going to look amazing, trust me.
And then, you know what? Ziggler be like,
You're just covering grabbing his foot in the brogue kick while he's on the ground. But, no, I think that I could see this. The X factor here is that you're going to have an X Division thing. You're going to have the world title match. You're going to have those three hardcore matches, presuming they're going to go that way.
Yeah.
With every Bound for Glory member. So that is going to take your Christopher Daniels and your AJ Styles and your Bully Rays out of that. So, so you're going to have to fill time with some other matches. And I don't really know, or I can't think of anything. We've been so Bound for Gloried with this, right?
Yeah.
So if you're doing, it's very possible you could do three, and the thing is going to be half hour time limits. This match, right,
yeah.
Is that's going to be the gimmick. So then there's an hour and a half right there,
yeah.
Right, plus then a half hour for the X title and a half hour for the world title,
yeah.
And there's 2.5 hours, and you're going to have some things, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
or 20 minutes, you know what I mean?
This is all you necessarily need, yeah.
Well, especially if they're they said longer multiple man matches. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's everything then.
Yeah.
So that could be fine too, right? So
cause, and that's another advantage that TNA definitely has. It's one of the reasons why their product is far more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're only doing 11 hours of programming a month, essentially.
That is true.
Whereas
as well.
WWE
yeah.
is doing, 5 hours a week plus pay per views. 20 some odd hours a week.
Yeah, or 23 hours a week plus,
23 hours a month. Right?
Yeah, or a month rather. Yeah, so it's exactly. It is just more than twice, right? So, and yet TNA is still doing it at a slower pace too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really like they're doing
26 hours. Actually, 26 is their own pay per views. So, yeah.
26.
Yeah.
I was throwing the pay per views in because I was doing 5 hours a week times 4 is 20 plus a 3 hour pay per view is 23. See, what you do here is you take five hours a week, you multiply it by 4 weeks in a month, okay? And there's one pay-per-view in a month, and so then you add that 3 hours.
Wait,
so you,
I know
it's exact. Okay, put your dick away. You have to add the three.
Wow.
Okay, so.
What about superstars?
What? That doesn't exist.
Oh.
Yeah. The other thing is, one note, I guess, just while we're on the topic of pay-per-views and how you have them every month, next year, In early May, I believe it's May 13th, they announced at Raw 1000 at Extreme Rules coming back to the Kiel Center, whatever that's called now, the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. The first that's going to be the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So WrestleMania is April 3rd, I believe.
Limit's gone.
Wait a minute. No, it's April 7th this year, isn't it? It's like deep in, isn't it? It's April 7th that WrestleMania is. I think it's deep in. But anyway, that's the May pay-per-view. So you don't have a... usually you'd have two basically in April. You'd have an early April, late April, and then a May.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got April and May. So I don't know if it eliminates one or if it will narrow it down later. Like, you know what I mean? But over or Extreme Rules is, I think, the middle of May is
mm-hmm.
the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania.
Okay, so yes, over the limit's gone. So that's good.
Well, I don't know if it's gone.
Or at least moved.
Yeah, or... squished. Like, it could very well be that Extreme Rules is May 14th and Over the Limit is May 28th, right? I mean, so who knows?
That's always successful.
It never, never fails.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Book it.
All right. I think, is there anything else?
I was going to say, I think that's going to be it. I think that's it. So
I'm Mo at We Talk Podcast and Mo _ We Talk on Twitter.
Yes, you are.
O-E.
Huh? O-U-T? No E, huh? Well, no, that's true.
No E, no Big E.
The women do not feel ecstasy. No, Big E Langston debuts next week, so on NXT, so I look forward to that. to see what the...
Who wouldn't?
Who really wouldn't?
He's a great worker.
He does. He does. Chris,
clean,
catches, catch, can style. Yeah. So, that's it. So, WeTalkWrestling.com. There really is. There's a lot of stuff up there. If you haven't been on there in the last week, there's a lot of stuff up there about cruiserweights and aces and eights and
Raw
1000.
Yeah, go on there and hit that social media share button. Let other people know how fucking awesome we are.
Because it is true. We're awesome. So,
much more so than the Miz.
I was going to say, yeah, me more than you. But it's @Addie_WTW or @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. One of the two.
ADDIE.
Yes, ADDIE.
ADDIE.
No.
You won't reach them.
No, that's true.
So that is positive.
That I don't know. You might be talking to, I don't know, somebody. But Addie, ADDIE, @WeTalkWrestling.com is my email. And then it's @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter there. So that's how to get a hold of us, WeTalkWrestling.com, iTunes, Stitcher, all those wonderful things for your mobile devices. So, yeah, that's going to do it for yet another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's
Fuck
it.
Off.
Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.